Good morning, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to Word is Live Ministries. This morning, we are going to be in the book of Romans. Martin Luther, a great leader in transforming our Bible to get it into the hands of a common man, said if he could only have one book of the Bible, he would want Romans. There's so much contained in it, and it's got some good things. Now, this morning, I've entitled this message, Renewed, Revived, and Replenished, and it may be not be in the sense that maybe you're thinking about, but it is what happens with a Christian life. And I will be speaking mostly to those that are children of God this morning, those that have accepted Christ as their Savior and claim Him as their Lord and God. And how do we follow Him? I mean, there's instructions here in the Bible. It doesn't just leave us blank and say, here you are. You got your policy. You go and do what you want. It tells us how to live, how we're supposed to react, who we're supposed to be even. We're not supposed to be the same people. And as long as it tells us that we're supposed to be new creatures in Christ. And if we're not going to do that, then what are we doing? Why do we want to be a child of God? What are we going to convey to other people about what it is to be a child of God? We have to do that. We have to tell people, this is what it is. This is what it is to be a child of God. You know, when you talk to people, it's not just enough to go, yeah, you ought to come to church or you ought to do this. No, you need to tell them what it is to be a child of God. And you've got to have that in your mind first to know this. So on chapter 12 says, I beseech you, verse 1, by the way, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affection one to another, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. We're going to stop right there. We could just keep on going, but I want to hit on these points that I've got here of our lives in Christ. Number one, we should be renewed, and it talks about renewing your mind, but we've got to do that in Christ Jesus, because he is the one that should renew that, but it should be renewed daily. We should start with a new mind every day. It's not something that you just keep on going. You say, oh, well, I'm the same old, and I'm going to do this. You know, as a child of God, this should be a new life. Look, I woke up this morning. It's a new day. I can't do anything about yesterday. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but today I should be renewed in my body. You know, I took rest, and I should get up, and I want to drink my coffee. You don't have to drink coffee, but I do. I drink coffee in the morning, and I have a breakfast. You know, I take my multivitamins and this stuff that I take, you know, to renew my body, to get myself going, to get out there and do things, you know. And so we need to do that, but we need to renew our minds in Christ Jesus every single day. To understand that this is a new day in Christ. He has given us this day. He has given this day to learn. He has given us this day to teach, to reach those that do not know about Jesus Christ in whatever we do. And we've got to allow people to know this. We've got to tell them, hey, look, I am renewed. Renewed today, you know, in today's world, we've got so many things going on. We said, well, how are we going to go through this? How are we going to do it? How are we going to deal with all these things? And it can be daunting, no doubt about it. And we got so many things coming at us from different directions. But I want to ask you a question. When is the last time that you honestly picked up your Bible and studied it? I can hear the crickets. When's the last time you picked up your Bible and read it? not even study, just read anything. You know, people start programs every year and processes to read through their Bible. And how many actually do that? And I know it's a difficult task to do, but how many of us take the time to honestly, and I want you to answer this honestly. You know, I can't hear you. Have you read your Bible today? Are you going to? Did you read it yesterday? Are you going to read it tomorrow? Have you got that in your mind that you're going to do that? You're going to renew yourself and renew your mind in the Bible, because that's the way God's speaking to you. How about prayer? We're supposed to be praying without ceasing. That's a way of renewing our minds. It's speaking to Jesus. It's talking to him and having a conversation, not just having that where we just have a dialogue that we are one-sided. No, we're going to listen to him as well. We're going to see what he's got to say to us. We're going to listen. You know, a conversation is two-sided. And sometimes it may be things that, you know, hey, that's kind of cutting a little bit. You know, you take your shoes off. And, you know, when I was a teenager, I'd take my shoes off and people would go, that stinks. You know, that wasn't something I wanted to hear, but I went and got me a little can of deodorant, you know, and stuff like that. You know, so we get these things. Sometimes when Jesus is speaking to us, it's about things we need to change in our life. Not things we need to continue doing, but things we need to change. So we need to be renewed. We need to renew that in prayer. Have you renewed yourself this morning? Have you prayed this morning? Do you pray constantly? I mean, constantly, every single day in every single situation. You can pray no matter what you're doing. You don't have to pray out loud. In fact, I'm going to tell you what. You know, these prayers that a lot of people pray out in public, they're getting a reward right there because they want people to hear them. That's what it's all about. You know, when you pray in public, you know, if you're asked to pray in church, don't pray a long prayer and use words that you don't usually use. You know, don't do that. Pray to God. Just pray. You know, it doesn't matter what people are thinking. They're supposed to be praying too. But pray. Take yourself in the closet. We had a sermon about that not long ago, and it didn't get a lot of views, but, you know, you got to go in that closet. Have that prayer time. Have that time. Renewing yourself in that time. We need to have spiritual time with other people, other believers, so that we can share, so we can go and, you know, we can reach out our hand and look in their eye and say, hey, how are you doing? You know, I know a lot of people don't want to shake hands. They want to fist bump or whatever. Well, whatever you do, we should have that personal interaction. And we can have that on the phone, but you still don't get the same things when you're looking at somebody in the eye. And I know we've got all the things about distancing and everything we've got. I'm not telling you to violate that in any way, but have a conversation. I had a neighbor of mine one time, and when all this COVID stuff started, we got out there, and he was on one side, and I was on the other side. We were raking leaves and pine needles and burning them and just having a conversation, just to be able to talk. You know, maybe had to talk a little bit loud, but we were having that conversation, and it did us good just to be able to talk to one another. We need that. We need to be able to relate. Hey, I'm having a tough time. You know, as children of God, we're terrible about this. You know, I say, how are you doing? I'm doing fine. Oh, I'm fine. You know, and you know you're not. It's okay to admit, hey, I'm having a tough time with something. Maybe you've got something in your life, or maybe a spiritual matter. Maybe you think, hey, I'm not getting as close as I should, and I need a little guidance. We need that to renew in that way, to be with one another. There are so many ways to renew ourselves in Christ. It said, be renewed in of your mind, and why? That you may be proved what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's why we do it. We prove God's will in our lives so that other people can see that and people know, hey, there's something to this. Folks, so many people, when they get surveyed and they list what it is, they want something that's real. And too many times a church is not exhibiting real. We're exhibiting something that's fake. We don't go in there and act real. We go in there and we do things that we normally wouldn't do. We act different than what we do outside, you know, and they look at it and they go, it's not real. They want something that's real. I mean, real today, real in your life right now, real while you're swinging a hammer, real while you're doing a shovel, real while you're sitting at your desk, real no matter what you're doing, real when you're sitting at home, that it's real to you. And you need to show that, and you can't do that unless you're being renewed daily, constantly, always getting renewed. Are you doing that? To be renewed. We need that today, to be revived. And if you look down in verse 4, it talks about this. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. He's talking about we become part of the body of Christ. We are revived. We were brought into life when we got saved. That's what Jesus Christ brought. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He brings us life. We are to be revived. That means to be brought to life again. We talk about revivals all the time. You know, I grew up with revival services and you didn't pay much attention to it. All that meant was you got a preacher from somewhere else and he got in and everybody felt good, you know, and you'd come into the church and at that time there was standing room only and things like that. And they would do it when the crops were laid by, but it means to be made alive again. And that's what we talk about. Revitalize, whatever you want to talk. But when we got saved, we were revived. We were brought to life, that life that was lost. We were brought into the newness of life through Jesus Christ. And we were brought into a new body. And we need to be a part of that. We need to know that we are part of a body of Christ. There are so many people around this nation that are still worshiping Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you right now that it's, you know, you talk to anybody you want to that really has a stake in this and cares, and we can see that there are churches springing up and are transforming into something that they're not. They're not preaching the truth. They're preaching to the people, and those itchy ears have transformed a lot of churches. Those itchy ears have made a lot of preachers stand up in pulpits and quit preaching the Word of God. Some of them are coming out of seminaries, and they've never preached the Word of God in their life, and they've not been taught to, and they're being taught things in seminaries that are wrong. This Bible is what they ought to be preaching. This Bible is what they ought to be preaching, and it's part of being the body of Christ. It's part of being part of that, and he says we don't all hold the same office. You know, a lot of churches, they want to do something that they're not supposed to. You know, do what you're supposed to as this body of Christ, these hands and everything we've got. We need to be revived into that body and know that we are part of something much greater than ourselves. It says you not ought to think of yourselves in verse 3, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. If you're part of the body, you're not a singular person anymore. You're not something that just goes about and does whatever you want to. We've got to be revived and know that we are part of this body of Jesus Christ that's supposed to go out and do the work of Jesus Christ. He says, you go and do what I want you to do. What is that? Going to all the world. Well, your world starts right at home. Right at home, right in your neighbor, right at your workplace, right at your school, wherever you are. We should be revived, brought to life in that new body. Not to brought to life to say, hey, okay, I've got something now and I don't want anybody else to know about it, or I don't want anybody else to have it. I've got my own little section. I got my own little seat in church. You know, I go there when I want to, and if I show up, they ought to just come around and tell me how great it is to see me again, even though I didn't take any time to come in the last month or so. We get caught up in our little cliques and junk that we've got going on. It's a body. Man, my body's getting older. Some of it don't work so great anymore. Can I get an amen? And that bothers the rest of the part of the body. And I'll tell you what, you know, one of the worst things in the world is walking through a house at night and stubbing your toe or stepping on a Lego. You do that and you tell me how the rest of your body feels. You say, well, that's only your foot, but man, it can be your little toe, and it hurts clear from down there to the top of your head for a while, don't it? You sit down and you rub it, and you do everything you can to make it stop because it's hurting so bad. Your hand goes down there, it's rubbing it, your head's thinking about it, your whole body's reacting to it. Well, that's the way we're supposed to be as a body of Christ. When there's something going on with one, it ought to be going on with all, and we ought to all be working together. And when it all gets back where it's right, we ought to be doing something for Jesus Christ. We ought to be telling people about his word and what it's got to say. We ought to be showing it in our lives. If they look at us, and you know, I hate to go into community, and I say, well, what about that church down there? And he goes, well, they fight a lot. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you something right here, and you can just get mad about it and text me or whatever you want to do. Business meetings are some of the worst things that were ever created in the Church of Jesus Christ. Right there. How about that? Because they have caused more trouble amongst the body of Christ than anything that I can think of in my life. I've seen it from the time I was a little boy. People get mad, walk out, get just upset. And it's not over Bible or doctrine or anything like that or any kind of teaching. It's over their color of carpet or what they're going to do or how they're going to build something or what they're not going to do. That's what it's usually about. And it's usually about this, selfishness, because they want their way. And another thing, I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're part of something, God's gifted you in doing something, we're going to be talking about that in a minute. And you know that that's what you're supposed to be. That doesn't mean that you're not supposed to help with anything else. You're supposed to help with the body of Christ in everything. It's not your own little gig. And if you got something against somebody in the body of Christ, you are not revived. You are hurting. You have got a part of your body that's hurting, and you're the one doing the hurting. You need to go to them and apologize. You say, well, I didn't do anything. Well, go and tell them, I'm sorry. I want to renew our relationship. I want to revive again. I want to be a part of this, and I want you to be a part of it, and I don't want this schism between us. How about that? Try doing that. Going to them. So we need to be renewed in our minds through Jesus Christ, through prayer, through Bible reading, through being with others. We need to be revived by being part of that body of Christ and going and doing the things that Jesus has told us to do. The church was established for a reason, and it's there for a reason. It's to bring us all together so we can know that we're not singularity in this world, and we're not just doing this all along. The devil separates. Jesus brings together. So if you got a separation in the body of Christ, it's not Jesus doing that. I'm going to tell you that right now. If you're part of that separation, if you're part of what's created that separation, you're serving the devil. You're doing what he wants you to do. Now, you're not serving Jesus Christ. And folks, I'm telling you, we see it. You can see it in headlines of major denominations fighting and going against the Bible and different things like that. Yeah, that's not Jesus Christ. That's Satan. Satan is working. He's tearing down. That's exactly what he does. He's here to destroy and kill, not to build up. Jesus is the one that brings together, and he creates that oneness. He's bringing us all back together. See, we were all scattered because of that sin of Adam, but Jesus Christ is the one that brings it back. Satan is the one dividing it. And I see church after church, and you go by and they're closed up. The buildings are dark, no longer being used, or they're being used for some other purpose. That's Satan at work right there. It's getting to be that the majority of people in our nation don't attend church anymore. And this was before everything that's been going on. But what was it? Because they didn't see anything real. They didn't see anything different in the church. They say the same thing. All it was a little country club down there with the name Jesus in their title or something of that nature. And they claimed to be doing stuff, and they might do a few community functions, but they really weren't spreading the gospel. Individually, they were not renewed. They were not revived. They were not together. They fought. I pastored a church one time, and it was divided by the middle. There was an aisle down the middle, and there's pews over here and pews over here. And these people over here hated these people over here, and had for 50 years they had been fighting like that. But yet they would come in there and fight. I went around knocking on the doors and trying to talk to people about church. And they said, well, I wish you well, but I'm going to tell you what, that's a mean church. That's an awful church. People around the community knew that. They were never growing. They were never doing anything. They'd get a new preacher in, and some people would come in that didn't know anything about it. Pretty soon they'd know all about it, and they'd leave, and the preacher would leave. Don't let that happen. Get in there and revive. Be a part of that body. Be alive in that body. Don't be a dead body. Dead bodies don't do anything. They're finished with their usefulness here on this earth, and some churches are too. All right. Replenish. Verse 6, it talks about, chapter 12, verse 6, having then gifts. If you're a saved child of God, you were given a gift when you got saved. Something to use for Jesus Christ. Not something to do for yourself, but something to do for Jesus Christ. And it lists all these things. But we are to replenish, we are to bring back with those gifts. To use that. It says we don't have the same office. We don't have the same gift. Use your gift. You say, well, I don't know what it is. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of little tests you can get and you can take, and you'll look at them. Maybe you'll take one. He'll say this, and the other will say something. The best thing to do is pray about this and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Try something. You may get in there and go, yeah, that wasn't it. Try something else. Do something else. Find somebody that's doing something and say, hey, can I help you? Can I help you out? And you'll find out pretty quick whether that's what you're supposed to be doing or not. The Lord will lead you in the right direction if you'll just step out and you'll do something. So we need to replenish, and we need to take that and use that for Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't have anything, you know. Well, can you sweep? How about helping clean the church? How about picking up gum wrappers or whatever got left in the floor? How about doing things like that? Those are just as important. Hey, it's important, you know, when somebody comes into church to see that it's well taken care of. I hate going by a church and I see it's not mowed around it. It's not taken care of. The paint's peeling. Because I look at that and I go, they don't care anything about Jesus because they don't care anything about his house. You say, well, that's wrong. No, I'll tell you, it's right, because you can look at those churches and they're decaying within as well. Through the body of Christ, they're decaying. So help out. Take care of something. Do whatever you can to help replenish and bring people in. Maybe it's just talking to somebody in the morning. Just going by and going, hey, I haven't seen you here before. I'm glad to see you. Or maybe it's somebody that comes all the time. Go, hey, I'm glad to see you. Maybe it's patting somebody on the back. I'm telling you, I had an old preacher named Otto Hillis that told me that was one of the best things you could do is come and encourage someone. Just pat them on the back a little bit. How about the person that plays your piano in your church? How about the person that gets up there and sings? How about anybody that does anything within that church? How about going and patting them on the back? Maybe you've got to the point that, you know, you can't do much physically, but you can encourage them. Tell them, go by and tell them, hey, I prayed for you this week. See what that does for them. Man, that'll replenish them. That'll bring them back up. That'll fill them up again. We need filled up, you know. It's just like a vehicle. You can drive that thing, and as long as it's got something in the tank, you can keep on going most of the time unless you have a mechanical breakdown. But you run out of gas, you're afoot. You got to keep that tank full or replenished, something in it to feed off of. We need that. We as human beings need that. So replenish somebody or replenish yourself. You know, you say, well, nobody will go around the church and say, good morning to me. Well, go say good morning to them. I've had people all the time. Nobody said anything to me. I came in that church and I sat down in that pew and nobody said a word. And I, well, did you say anything to anybody? Well, no. You see, they were expecting everybody to do for them. Get out there and do something. Fill them up. Fill somebody up. Hey, you want to shock your pastor? Go up and say, Pastor, I appreciate that message and I appreciate every single thing you do. I prayed for you all week. I'm praying for you right now. In fact, I want to pray with you right now. I don't want to tell you anything bad before this sermon. I just want to pray for you and just pray for him. Don't go to him and tell him the worst thing that happened and tell him how you're upset about something right before a sermon. That's terrible. Replenish him. Build him back up. He needs that. He's been drained all week. The people that take care of things in your church, replenish him. How about replenishing somebody else? Maybe going to somebody that doesn't know about Jesus and tell them about him. Build up their day. Smile at them. Nobody likes an Eeyore Christian. Somebody's just standing there going, everything's bad. That's what Eeyore does. No, we want somebody that's going to stand up and say, hey, you know what? I've got life through Jesus Christ. Have a smile on your face. When you tell somebody about life in Christ, you know, you can tell them about hell. You can tell them about the bad side of it. But tell them, hey, but you know what? I don't worry about that. And I'll tell you why I don't worry about it. It's because I have salvation. I have a life in Jesus Christ. I've been renewed, and I renew constantly. I've been revived in the body of Christ, and I'm getting replenished right now just telling you about Jesus Christ. It's just building me up. It's exciting me. How about telling them about that? Show them all three of those in ways that they can't understand and that you've got that peace that goes beyond understanding. They won't understand it until they get Jesus Christ in their life. But tell them about that. Folks, we need to read this. We need to understand it. Read down through these what the books are. It tells about your gifts and everything else. And some of these things in verse 14, it says, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Ooh, let's throw that one out of there. How about it? No, we can't do that. We got to keep that. See, all this Bible's there for us. And that's not easy to do. I'm telling you, it's not. Anger sometimes is one of the most exhilarating emotions we have. But it shouldn't be. Cursing someone. Being mad at them all the time. You know, I've heard it time and time again. Having an unforgiving spirit is like taking poison and hoping it affects the other person. We can't do that. If we're going to be renewed, revived, and replenished, we're going to have to take it to God and say, look, I can't think highly of myself above everybody else. And that verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You know, if we get to that point and not think more highly of ourselves than everybody else, we can be renewed. We can have that renewal of spirit every single day, just like we do our bodies, you know, to replenish that to be revived, to feel alive again. And I told you a while ago that I drink coffee in the morning, and a lot of people, oh, I don't drink coffee. I can't stand it. Can't stand the taste. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I don't feel fully alive until I have a cup of coffee. And you can say, well, that's wrong, but I don't. I can drink that cup of coffee, and all of a sudden I feel, hey, I think I can face the day. You know, and then I'll get me a little breakfast, and I'll think, yeah, I know I can face the day. I'll go out and feed the animals, and they're jumping around. I go, yep, I'm ready for the day. And same thing with reading our Bible. Mm-hmm. We can read our Bible, and we start getting that again. I feel better. I feel better about things. I can look at this whole world and go, yeah, mm-hmm. Look around, and yeah, it may be getting bad, but it's okay. It's okay because I have a life in Jesus Christ. So we can be renewed through that. We can be revived and made feel better. We can be filled back up. And you say, well, these all sound a whole lot alike. They are. They all go hand in hand. They build upon one another and make a whole and create something within us that's not there naturally, but only through Jesus Christ. Only by giving him our life, because before we didn't have that. We were dead, we were dying, we were not renewed, we were not replenished, we were not revived, and we need that every single day. I hope that this is helping you out today. I hope that somehow it's reaching to you, not through my words, but through his. Go back and read the chapter 12 of Romans. And then once you read that, just go back and start and read the whole book. And then go read another chapter and another book. And just keep on reading verse by verse, by chapter, and just keep reading. Some of these things, you read the Psalm. I constantly read the Psalms, and I look at it, and David usually is not feeling any of this. He's not feeling any three of these. But by the end of it, he's going, oh, it's okay. Because usually he starts out, and he's like, God, why are you allowing this? Man, my enemies have me surrounded. Everything's bad, and I'm just feeling all terrible. And Lord, you said you were going to take care of me, and you know, and this is happening, and that's happening, and I don't feel good. But by the end of it, he's going, oh, wait a minute. It doesn't matter whether my enemies are around me, because you're my God. It doesn't matter my circumstances, because you're my God. It doesn't matter what's going on with me. I'm part of a greater thing here. You're my God, and I thank you for it. Now listen, if you're not a child of God, you're listening to this, and you go, well, this was all for people that are already saved, and it doesn't identify with me, but I'm going to tell you what, right now, you can have this. You can have all this by accepting Jesus Christ, by accepting the fact that you are a sinner, that you are lost, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. By knowing that you can confess the Lord Jesus, making him your God, and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. And then you can have all of this. I promise you, you can have all of it. And I want you to have all of it. I want you to understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. Adam sinned in the garden. I was reading that this week. Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, and he was cast out. Because of that sin, death was brought upon all men. And it was reigned. It says death reigned until one man, Jesus Christ, defeated that death. And he defeated it and he brought it low. And for those that accept Christ, it doesn't exist. That spiritual death no longer exists for those that accept Jesus Christ. That physical death, it may get you, but I'm telling you what, you can still be alive through Jesus Christ. There have been those that have said, you know, if you hear me dying, don't think so. I'm more alive than I've ever been. I've heard many people say that, many famous people, but it's true that we should be alive in Jesus Christ. I want you to have that. And you can do that right now. You can stop where you are. You can do whatever, and you say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I want that free gift of salvation. I want to have that newness of life. I want to be renewed and revived and replenished, and I want to do it on a daily basis. I want to walk with you from here on out, Lord. I don't want to have anything between you and me. I want to accept that free gift. And if you did that, why don't you drop us a line? Either here on we have Facebook, we have YouTube, or we have a post office box, 1152 Mammoth Spring, and let us know, hey, I received Jesus Christ, and I want you to pray for me. And we'll continue to do that. We're going to continue to spread this gospel of Jesus Christ throughout this world as best we can. And there's others that truly are worldwide with their ministries, and that's okay. But you know, we just want to reach one soul at a time. And so if you've accepted Jesus Christ, let us know that. If you haven't, you need to right now. You will never regret it. I promise you. That's what we do. Word is Live Ministries. We spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in all fashions that we can, and we're going to keep on trying and do it better and better and better until the Lord comes back. My name is Charles Morgan. Word is Live Ministries. Thank you for allowing me to be with you this morning.